We thank you this morning, Lord, on this Mother's Day. You created mothers. The men didn't do it. You did it. And what a great, I mean, men have their own parts, but there is something very special about women, Lord. And we thank you for that, that we come through their loins. And you push us out into the world, and then they nurture us and love us and show us what it means to be a part of a loving God, to be nurtured and caressed, and we thank you for it. And so, Lord, we give you the praise, we give you all the honor as we speak your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. There was a woman who lived in a town, and everybody knew her, Javier, because she had this beautiful Rolls Royce. And, you know, Rolls Royce, that's a very expensive car. They didn't know a lot about her, but they knew when they saw that car coming that she's somebody. Anyway, she never put her money in banks. She always used credit unions. And on this occasion, she had decided that she was going to go to the bank and she was going to borrow $5,000. I don't know what she needed it for, but she was going to go to the bank and see if they wouldn't lend her $5,000. So she goes there to the bank manager, and the bank manager said, it is our policy that we always have collateral, that a person has to put up something when we give them money to make sure that the loan will be backed by something. And she says, you know, I've got this car. It's a brand new Rolls Royce. Would that be collateral enough? $5,000? He said, oh, of course it will be. And so she had to turn over the keys and she had to turn over the title for however long she wanted to loan the money. Well, 30 days later, she comes back, not 2 months, not 3 months, not a year later, but 30 days later. And she says that I have my money to pay back on the loan that you loaned me of the $5,000 plus whatever interest. And the bank manager said, you know, that's great. The interest is only $15.40 because you only had the $5,000 for just a month. And he said, but you know, while you were gone for 30 days, we checked you out and we discovered something. You're not just rich, you're filthy rich. Why would you want to borrow $5,000? She looked at him and she said, you know, let me give you some good advice. She said, you guys are the only place in town where I can park my car for $15.40 for 30 days. And that's why I used it. You know, women are just smarter than men. I mean, they really are. When God says that we needed a helpmeet, he doesn't say that to the woman, that you're going to be a helpmeet, because women do tend to do some things. You know, sometimes women end up being single and they still do some great things. But I know very few men who have accomplished great things in life or accomplished even moderate things that did not have a woman who was pushing, you know, and believed. You know, that's maybe the biggest thing, believe in them. Anyway, I want to speak this morning to you about advice. This woman gave the bank man advice from a mother, since it's Mother's Day. And again, happy Mother's Day to all of you, to my bride, happy Mother's Day. And maybe you might share this word with someone who they don't have to be a mother. I think that this woman is a great woman of God, and she's got a word for us And so, but she never had children. One of the things that I've discovered about women is that most of them are nurturers, even if they've never had children. They're much better nurturers than males are. Would you agree with me on that? Yeah, much better nurturers and encouragers than men are. So even if they had children or they didn't have children, they've got a step up on males. Well, this woman we're going to be looking at, the text doesn't say she had children, but yet she knew how to nurture, young people. And we're going to be looking at Luke 2, 36 through 40. Just to give you a little background, this is about 40 days past Christmas. 40 days past Christmas. And so Jesus is being brought to the temple to be dedicated. Anybody here had your children dedicated? And you know what dedication is about. It's really more so for the parents than it is for the child. And some people even confuse dedication with baptism. And it's totally not the same thing. Baptism is when you make a personal confession of who God is to you. Dedication is about the parents and them saying, we're going to bring up our child in a certain way. And so, Mary and Joseph are here to do what the law says, the Hebrew law, and that is to bring up Jesus. This is the only child that they have at this point in the way that the law says to bring them up. And so just a little context verse here, Luke 38, this is the end of the five verses, 37, 38, 39. A couple of verses I'm going to talk about this morning. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Most of you all know that as a preacher, I preach the principles, the things that were true then and are true now. And so I want to give those truths to you this morning from this text. The first truth is use your gifts and talents. I don't care who told you, you know, you're not any good. You're never going to be anybody. You're the wrong color. You come from the wrong side of the tracks. God has given you gifts and talents. The text doesn't differentiate. But I want to differentiate this morning for us. Gifts are what God gives us to improve the church, to help empower the church. That's your spiritual gifts. They are found in Romans 12. You may want to write that down. 1 Corinthians 12 and Ephesians 4. Now, there are some that say that there are other gifts that are not mentioned there, like the gift of hospitality. And I would certainly agree, having, you know, been a pastor for years, having the gift of hospitality. I know people who say, my pastor never invited us to his house. You know, they've never been to the pastor's house. People used to live with us, you know, all the time. We did live next door to the church. That didn't make a difference. So they'd leave the building and go into. Talents are skills, abilities, let's say abilities that God gives us. And each one of these gifts and talents don't start off full blown. They usually have to be developed. But talents are usually used in your work so that you can get be productive in life, so that you can use your mind and your skills, your gifts to take care of yourself, you know. So everybody has them. She has a very different gift right here. There was also a prophet, Anna. You know, you could read through that real quick, but that's a big statement right there. A prophet was someone who spoke for God. Let me hear you say prophetail. Yeah, the prophesy, the same word would be for preacher in the New Testament. And you have to raise the question, who did she preach to? Who did she prophesy to? Because women were not seen as doing that. The only people I could think of that she would prophesy to or preach to would be children. Because women did preach and teach the children, and especially the girls, and how to be good wives and run a household and so forth. If they were young men, then very early on, they were taught by the father. They were mentored in a certain skill, but men didn't mentor the girls to do something. So anyway, she's a prophet. Look at somebody and tell them, she's a prophet. That's a big thing. Prophetio. Esther, she spoke for God. Now, there's another gift that's going to come up about her in a minute, but I don't want to jump ahead of myself. She's the daughter of Penuel. You remember Penuel was the place where I think it was Jacob fought at that well, and he fought with God. So she's got some fighting in her, you know, and I think you see that in her. But she's of the tribe of Asher. So we're in the New Testament now. Asher is one of the 12 lost tribes, Javier, not Judah or Benjamin. So which means that she wouldn't even have been represented. Hold on to that spot right there, because this is going to be important for us coming up. She's mixed breed. She would have been like the Samaritans, you know, that the Jews didn't deal with these folk, even the other tribes. And we don't even know where they went, because they got mixed with other people. The Jews, which was Judah and Benjamin, they became one kind of solid group. She had lived with her husband 7 years after marriage. Well, if we do the math, 7 years, usually girls married around 12, like Mary, 14 would be getting old. So let's say she was 20, and then she was a widow until she was 84. So subtract 20 from 84, or it could also mean, like in some texts, that it was 20 years after 84, which would mean she would have been 104. She would have been real old. Do you see these dynamics? All I'm trying to get you to see here is that none of it stopped her. Not old age, not being a woman, not being from the wrong race. No excuses. No excuses. God called me to preach, and if I can't preach to nobody but the children, I'm going to preach. I'm going to share a word for God. Each and every one of us, I believe, have this particular gift. Even it may not be that you end up being over a church or one who has got a platform, but I believe that each and every one of us have got a gift where we are breaking down the word of God. Are you with me? In Proverbs 18:16, it says, a man's gift, and this could be man or woman, will make room for him and bringeth him before great men. That your gift will get you into places that your skin color can't get you in. That your background can't get you in. That where you grew up can't get you in. Where your culture, it says, no, you're not accepted in this group, but your gift. If you can fix my car, I don't care what color you are. If you can help me do something better, I don't care what your race is. Your gift will make room for you. You don't have to want to try to be somebody else. In my culture growing up, the most esteemed people in the community. And Cheryl will bear this out, at least for males, not necessarily for females. It may be different for females now, but for males was to be a sports person, and especially basketball. I grew up in New York City and in the Bronx. And so if you couldn't play sports, then there was nothing else that really, really meant anything. And so I always tried to play, but you ever know somebody who's tall and lanky, but they can't play, you know, be the last one on the team. Well, that was me. That was me. I put the uniform on, but I didn't get out there. Nobody picked me much for the team. But I learned from my mother, who was my first teacher, my first Bible study teacher, that everybody's got a gift. And you got a gift. You don't have to take somebody else's gift, but everybody else is playing. Everybody else is feeling like they're somebody because they can, you know, play in a certain way. She says, don't worry. You'll learn how to play, but it'll be according to the gift that God put into you. I didn't realize that there was an academic gift, Chris. I didn't realize that people could use their brains for God. We call them teachers. Yeah, we call them professors. I didn't know what that was. And here I was getting good grades. I was not what you call a super scholar by any means. You don't mind me telling you this testimony, do you? I was not a super scholar by any means. Matter of fact, I was considered, what do you call it, sugar? Slow. ADD, you know, attention disorder deficit. And you don't grow out of it. You know, it's a hard time for me to focus still, even today. But I had this gift that many others around me and many of my friends didn't have. It was a gift that allowed me to, and especially during the time of affirmative action in the 60s, I got into every Ivy League school except for Harvard. Every one of them. Decided to go where God told me to go, and I'm glad I did, because I don't think I would have made it at those schools because I didn't have the background and I didn't have the support. Do you hear what I'm saying? It was a great day for things like that good to happen, but God knows best. Got into a HBCU, a historically black school, full ride scholarship in Georgia. And what I needed was to find out who I was as an African American in this country. And that helped me out a lot. And I know that for some of you that come from different backgrounds in here, finding out your heritage can be a real confidence booster for you. Can I get a witness? Yeah, amen. Every now and then we should have a day where we celebrate where you come from. You know, you come from Irish, or you come from English, or you come from Latina, you come from, or the different groups of Latina, you come from the Asian. There should be a celebration of those things because people feel better and they're more confident when they know who they are. Now you feel your best confidence when you know whose you are, but knowing your gift, whatever that is, for me, it was academics. And this thing of I can talk to you all day long. I won't do that this morning because I know we got Mother's Day going on here. But that really went along. My memory went along with that academic gift. Are you with me? I had ADD, remember? But if you keep your mouth quiet and you listen and you take stuff in, may take you a little longer, but you'll figure it out and you'll get it better if you keep your mouth quiet. Anyway, I'm just simply saying to you, your gift will make room for you. Esther, I've had the reason I'm talking to Esther this morning now is she's a student at the graduate school where I taught for 33 years, a very esteemed school, one of the top tier schools for theological training in the country, if not the world. And I'm saying, God, your gift. Am I making sense to you? What am I supposed to be doing there? I didn't grow up Southern Baptist. I grew up a Lutheran. But your gift, your gift will make room for you. Three things about your gift, and then I'm going to move on here. Find out what your gift is. Discovery. Gift discovery. The second thing is gift development. Discovery, development. Hey, you all. Discovery, development, and then deployment. You got to use it to get better at it. You got to use it to get better at it. Nehemiah 8:8 says, now when we talk about gifts specifically, not talking about talent so much now, but your gift, all gifts are going to lead to this. They read from the book of the law of God, doing what? Making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people understood what was being read. That is the consequence. That is the end all, John. I don't care what your gift is. If your gift is music, if your gift is preaching, if your gift is teaching, if your gift is leadership, all of us are trying to help make this book plain to people. Can you give God some praise on that? I found out the answer today. But why we have church? It's not about how good I am. It's not about people giving me congratulations. You did well today in your preaching. No, it's not about you. It's about making the book plain so that people can understand, even the little people. Anna, I don't think, had an opportunity to speak to adults, but I know she would have had an opportunity to speak to children. Are you with me? And that was enough for her. Sometimes God only gives you a little piece, but if you can take his word and help make it plain to somebody else, you are doing the great work of God. Can I get a witness? Yeah. Making it clear. How many people come to church and they leave out, you know, it went right over my head. Well, come here and let me tell, help you make it. I'll make it clear. You know, because you didn't get it in here. We understand that sometimes it doesn't happen, but I can sit down with you and I can help you make it clear. All right. Second principle, be loyal to your church. Be loyal to your church. How many of you, if I would say to you, be loyal to your family, how many of you would say, yeah, right on. Be loyal to your wife. How many of you would be jumping on your pew right now? Chris said, yeah. How many would say be loyal to your husband? Well, what about how about 99%? Would that do? Would you be all right with that? 99%? Or you want 100? Yeah, Cheryl would kill me if I said I was 99%, you know, in. I'm just being honest with you. This is your church family. And loyalty, I tell you right now, to me in history, for Living Hope, this is a key word for you. Loyalty. Because if you're going to take the next step, and I'm not talking about getting somebody, you go get somebody and hope that you've done your homework. I know you've put the time in. But your loyalty is going to really be the determination of where this thing goes. Y'all hear me? God's going to do his part. And I believe whoever you get's going to do their part. But guess what? You still got a part. And your loyalty is going to have a great impact. Can I get a witness? Look at her commitment. Now remember, her husband died, right? She's 84. Now they were only married for 7 years. They have any kids. But then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the church. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. I don't know if you can take that literally. You know, like she had a little room at the church, you know, a little space. Now, they did have some of that, but it wasn't for women like Anna. It was for temple prostitutes. So, but Anna's a long ways from that. I think the key word here is she was loyal. I think the writer of Luke, this doctor, is trying to get us to see something about what helps make this place a little different than somewhere else, that there was somebody there. I don't know. He doesn't speak about the priests. He doesn't speak about the Pharisees. He doesn't speak about the Sadducees, but he speaks about this woman. And that is, she lost her husband and she wasn't crying and having a pity party. She jumped right on in there with the Lord and said, he needs me. And again, I don't take this literally, but I take it to mean she was committed. There was no question about if she was going to be at her post. Can I get a witness? Now, you've got to ask yourself the question. Is there any question about you being at your post? Is there any question about you doing what you said you were going to do? Is there any question about you supporting your church? I'm not talking about having a million other mission projects. I know like many of us have. But is there any question about your commitment? Because in a family, did we not say this is a family? Church family? Yeah. In a family, as long as we have commitment, it'll be a strengthening bond for when the rain comes down and the wind blows and beats against the family. We'll be able to stand. But when there is no loyalty, we'll fall apart. Can I get a witness? She uses her gift. She's known as Prophetess Anna. You didn't just go up to her and call her Anna, did you? You called her by her title, Prophetess. She was loyal. Is that good advice? Yeah, and I'm not calling anybody disloyal, but it is an evaluation that we need to take, isn't it? Where am I on the spectrum? You know, you do this good. You teach good. You preach good. You sing good, but you never hear. I'll leave that alone. Number three, practice courage when facing adversity. Practice courage. Courage means I can't go over it. I can't go under it. I got to go through. Scripture says that, doesn't it? There's a time for everything. There's a time to laugh, but there's a time to cry. There's a time to live, but there's a time to die. There's a time to mourn, and there's a time to laugh. And there's a time for hardship, and there's a time for easiness. Adversity is a part of life. You don't have to be a Christian to know that adversity. But one of the things that I have discovered, and I didn't learn this from Anna, but I believe that it's true, that when you face your stuff and you go through it, you're stronger. Can I get a witness? When you have beat Satan one time, the next time he comes, you say, well, come on. You know, the first time you got me off guard. The first time I didn't have my word. Now I got some understanding of how to use my weapon. Come on. And that's exactly what she does. You see, before when you came at me, I didn't know enough. Before when you came at me, I didn't have enough skills. But come on now. As a matter of fact, I welcome you. Because I get stronger when I stand up to you. My strength doesn't come in my lifetimes, when things are easy, when there's no weight on the bar. My strength comes when I face my adversity. I like Anna. Coming up to them. Now, who is the them? The who? Did you say? I think that that's some of the them. But you have to understand how the sanctuary, the temple is separated. You have the court of the men, the religious leaders and the general men. And then way in the back was the court of the women. Are you with me? And if the women want to find out, oh yeah, I didn't understand what was said today. She had to go ask her husband. She couldn't, you know, like we do in Bible study class. Yeah, I want to say a word. No, you kept quiet till you got home. But Anna thought this was an important enough moment that I'm going to take off my prophetess hat and I'm going to put on my evangelism hat. Y'all don't hear me. And she gave thanks to God, but then she spoke about the child and to the child, because she spoke to all who were looking forward to the what? To the redemption of Jerusalem. In other words, she comes all the way from the back to the part where women are not supposed to go, because that's the court of the men. I could see some men pulling on the Susie. I could see some men saying, Anna, you know what the law is. You know what the rules are. You don't come up in the front. Will you get back there? And Anna just keeps going, because you see, she sees who? She sees Jesus. Y'all don't hear me. They were looking for Jesus. She had been preaching about Jesus coming, but now she sees him. And when she sees him, she can't be, oh, you've never had it before. I can't help it. I got to go. Get off of me. I got to tell somebody. That's the one we've been looking for. That's the one. You go, don't let your blindness cause you to miss it. But he's the one we've been teaching about. He's the one I've been prophesying about. He's the one I've been telling your children about. He's not just the one who's coming. He is the one who is here. He is the Lord. He's Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. Oh my goodness. You mean to tell me if God is in here to serve us today, that you'd have to get out of your pew? I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how much your Mother's Day outfit cost you. You would get up and bow down on your knees to God? This woman got a lot of courage. You know what I'm saying? Because first of all, they probably saying to themselves, dang, that's a baby. That's not God. And I hear her saying, no, that's God. That's the one I've been teaching. You see, you had me teaching the children, but I believed what I was teaching. And now I get to see it before my very eyes. She moves from being, Deacon Carla, a prophetess, one who speaks for God, to an evangelist, one who speaks what the Word of God says. This is the Lord. I'm not backing down from that today. I'll go back to my seat, but I won't go back until I've told you. He's the Lord. Hey, we're almost done here. Legal legacy for the next generation. You know, legacies can come in any kind of way. You can leave money. You can leave a house. You know, as a church, what is the legacy that you want to leave for the next generation? You know, I think a lot of what you want to leave will keep you motivated for using your gifts and your talents and so forth for your ministry. Can I get a witness? You know, it's not just for me. It's not just for this time, but it's for Abney and for Pedro and for Maria and your children, Chris. And for your children, your grandchildren that are going to come. You see, I've got to leave something with them. You see, well, let's look at the text. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew. You know, what Matthew is helping you to understand here is that he didn't just pop up as an adult. But somebody, you know, if you're going to grow, somebody got to do what? They've got to pour into you. They've got to, physical food, mental food, but spiritual food. And I don't know who all else. I'm sure that Mary and Joseph was giving him a good Jewish education. But you see, Anna did something for him that he would remember. Why? You know, most babies don't remember when they're a month old. Most kids don't even remember when they're 2, maybe even 3 years old. I can remember 1 or 2 things from 3 years old. But he's God. And so every word that was told him up until this point, no other human being ever told him, came up and poured into his spirit, I know who you are. I know what you've come to do. You are the Redeemer. You are the Redeemer of the world. Not just the Jewish people, but of the whole wide world. And out of everything that he learned about himself, everything that he was taught, I believe that he remembered the words of Anna on that day. Have you ever had a teacher in school? I mean, I can't even remember 3/4 of my teachers, but I can remember 1 or 2 of them that said, oh, come here, young man. Come here, little black young man. I know they say you can't be nothing. I know they say you can't. Gonna be anything. I know they say you didn't come from anything, but I want you to know something. God's got a plan for you. God has made a way for you. Don't you accept any excuses. Don't you put aside anything that the word says is your purpose. God will make a way for you. No excuses. No excuses. And that is the greatest legacy that I have received. Didn't receive a whole lot of money from my parents, and they all passed now. But I receive the word, and that is in my soul. And it feeds me even right now. God will make a way when there seems to be no way. You know that? He works in ways I cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide. Hold me closely to his side. You don't know that? You might want to go back and look at those old hymns there. Let me tell you what. They swell up in you, don't they? I saw some of you singing right along with me. God will make a way. I don't run into any circumstances. I don't run into any problems. I don't run into any challenges by myself. I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. And there is nothing. Be still and know that I am God. Advice from a mother who never had children. What are they again? Number one. Advice from a mother who never had children. Take Mama Anna's advice. It's straight from the Word of God. I'm going to ask Sister Carla and our worship team, Brother Noel, if you would come. I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm going to ask our counselors if they would come forward. Somebody may want to make a decision today to be a little bit more loyal. Maybe to use their gifts and talents. They've been sitting on them. Maybe I'm facing a challenge right now. I'm facing adversity right now. And I needed to hear that God would be with you. And let me not tell you, not let me cry about my problem, but let me tell you about my God. Who is helping me face this problem? Can I get a witness? I can't explain to you why I can't take care of this or why this is overwhelming for me here, but I can tell you about this guy right here. He's the one. And he'll make a way out of no way. Now help me go into the highways and the byways. And let's tell men and women, but let's tell boys and girls that you can serve a risen Savior that is in the world today. And I know that he's living, regardless of what people may say. Can I get a witness, Eve? Won't you come?